Accession number 20510, Reel 5.
Peter Harbour, tape 5. So, Peter, can you tell us a little bit about what the ground was like when you landed in Normandy in July 1944? What sort of terrain were you working over?
Well, similar to this country, really. There were copses and woods which you went through or by, and very similar to England, what I can remember of it. It was a very dry summer, so there was plenty of dust about, and very hot, I remember. But I think it flattened out more when we came into, as we came to France more. But what I can remember of Normandy, it's very similar to this country. Of course, a lot of damage had been done to the country by the advancing and the troops before us when we first arrived there. So, I mean, you can't really judge very well what it would be like now or in the past.
Had your training prepared you well for what you had to do?
Oh, I think so, yes. I think, well, I mean, that's the reason why we were specialised, weren't we? If we hadn't been, we'd be no good over there. I mean, when you think of it, we only had about 100 people killed throughout the campaign, and the rest, there was about 300 captured, which speaks a lot, really, so the fact that we got away with a lot. I mean, not counting for the people, the few that were captured by the Germans.
So thinking about your first engagement when you were had to crawl through the...
On Hill 1-1, on the ridge.
Yeah, what was it called?
The ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and next to it was Hill 1-1-2, the well-known Hill 1-1-2.
Right. Where were the enemy then?
Well, you got the brow of the hill, and the enemy were on the other side of the hill on a crossroads. And they'd been there for some time. And prior to them, me going up to the forward OP and crawling forward and no seeing one there, there'd been a lot of reconnaissance work being done by the assault troops going forward on foot. And they'd found a lot of activity going on down there prior to me looking over the top. And what happened was that when I ran back from the OP and got fired on, it appears that there was one of our assault troops done a recce in front of our squadron and was coming up into our lines. And that's what happened. So it was our own troops that were following me in.
So do you know who that assault troop was?
I think it was C Squadron or B Squadron, but I don't remember. I don't remember who was leading it or anything. But I've probably heard different times, but I'm afraid my memory's not that very good. And I think a lot of people who talk about their episodes in the war, I think you'll find that majority of them were got it from books.
You reckon so?
I know so.
Right.
We've got one or two in our unit that doesn't stop talking. And if they did everything, they say they did, they were in about three places at the same time. You see what I mean?
Which books? I mean, I know you've got some. Do you think are good on the 53rd World?
Well, of course, the history of the 53rd Division Welsh Reconnaissance Corps regiment is the best, because that was written the year that we disbanded in 1946. That was written by one of our officers, so it was up to date.
Yeah, can you just tell me what that's called and who it's written by?
It's called the Welsh Spearhead, and history of the 53rd Reconnaissance Regiment, 1941-46.
And it was written by...
I haven't got that yet. To the memory of our comrades, the 53rd Reconnaissance Regiment, who gave their lives on the battlefields of North West Europe, and all the other units of the 53rd Welsh Division, who fought with us and maintained us throughout the war. This book is humbly and proudly dedicated. It was the adjutant, I think, who wrote it. And it gave us a lot of details on everything in it, the route and everything that went. A definition, reconnaissance. A preliminary examination or survey of a territory or of an enemy's position for the purpose of directing military operations. That's the definition of reconnaissance.
Right. Okay. So what sort of briefing would you have before you went out on a recce?
Well, no one would know what was in front of us, would they? So all we could be given would be map references and routes. We had to find out what was in front of us. That was our job.
And what preparations did you make just before you went out?
Well, I suppose it came automatic, I suppose. We were so well prepared that you just did automatically, and we just made saying.
So what did you check?
Well, I just checked the wireless was in good condition. The guns were clean and operative. And the vehicle you were in was serviceable. So just track vehicles. The tracks were all cleaned off and sound. We very often lost them, but that's another story.
Yeah. Did you lose any vehicles?
Well, we lost a number with gunfire, and I was telling you about the one that was in front of me. I mean, that was a side of action. And didn't see it myself, but they say that they discovered one or two of the armoured vehicles stripped of the guns and everything, and put swastikas on them when they found them. So they must have been captured in something like that. Probably captured when the prisoners of war, we found some of our lads in the prisoner of war camps. You know.
So when you came back from a recce, I mean... what would happen then?
Well, we'd report to our squadron officers, like, you know, well, the troop officer would do if he was still alive. Whoever, it just depends who's left. We had to report back to the squadron echelon, and if there was any particular news that we'd brought back that the warriors hadn't done, then it was reported back to divisional headquarters. But
what would
we seem
then
to take it in our stride, you know. It seemed to be automatic. And then we'd get back to camp, and everyone was glad to see us. And some of them used to have a drink, and if it was about, and a fry up.
What was it like in the camp? You were on the canvas,
or pretty cheerful, really. Considering, I mean, after all, it's riving rough, isn't it? I'm assuming we slept under the vehicles, or not necessarily bivouacs, but we just bedded down under the vehicles because of the weather. And well, we didn't have bad weather while I was out there, I must admit. I mean, the bad weather came after I left the regiment, fortunately, when they got into Germany more, you know, through the winter months. So I only talk about the first half of the campaign, really, when it was fine weather.
And where were you taking your meals when you were in camp?
Well, we had basic rations to carry with us, you know. I can't remember what it involved now, biscuits and dried food. fried milk and that type of thing. I can't give you in detail what they were. But it was all dried stuff mainly.
So, were there working parties or anything?
Oh, you always had your cooks and that back in camp, in the headquarters sort of thing. They were following up behind you, so if you ever came out, you were, had a good food. You had a good meal, like, you know. Your dry rations were only if you got cut off from anywhere, you know, got stranded.
Where was headquarters when you first...
Well, your squadron headquarters are not very far behind you. I mean, they were within shouting distance almost. But, of course, they were further a different day. It varied, depending on the job, depending on the treatment of the enemy and how fast we had to get up to them. But then there was the regimental headquarters, which was way back. Sometimes the CO used to come up to visit us, but he had his job to do in HQ to keep everything going, keep everything ticking over.
Did you have very much contact with HQ?
I didn't personally, no. I suppose I was up in the near the front most of the campaign, really. Apart from times when I say there were other jobs we had to do, through backing up other units, and very often if we were quiet, we were doing traffic duty. You know.
What did that mean you had to do?
Well, directing troops and vehicles, if you were in a built-up area, sort of thing, crossroads and that, to do traffic patrol. But that's when we had a quiet spell. Keep us busy, you see. Keep our mind going.
How did everyone in your squadron cope with being in France? What was the effect it had on them? Did some people find it quite hard?
I think a lot of them found it very frustrating, the fact of going through France, especially when we left. Going from Normandy, you went up through the Murder Mile, we called there was just enough room for a vehicle to go between army trucks, Germans, and dead animals, dead horses and carts, dead soldiers hanging out over the top of the turrets, and it was everything was dead. The typhoons had been coming in and they'd blasted a whole convoy of German retreating with horse and carts and every type of vehicle the German army had was in that particular road, and they got trapped in there, and the typhoons came and blew them to pieces, and the stench from it when you were driving through was unbelievable. But
that was called Murder Mile, was it?
Yes, I think it was Murder Mile they called it, something like that.
Do you know where that was?
I think it was around about Valley, the Carne Valley, somewhere in that area. And that'll always stick in my mind, that particular scene.
Did that have a big effect on some of the other people in your squad?
I think it might have done. Yes, I mean, we go to our reunions now, and that is referred to a number of times. Yeah.
Did you see any other soldiers get upset or break down?
No, not particularly. No, I didn't. I think we're a pretty well disciplined crowd. I mean, I didn't see anyone. It was only one instance that I've been told. I've been told about, and that was when some of our lads were making a dive for a barn to get out of trouble. And they went into this barn, and there was about 2 or 3 dozen Germans in there. And as soon as the lads went in, the Germans put their arms up and surrendered. And they walked out with these German prisoners, and this corporal in charge got the MM. you hear stories like that, you know, and I can't say that I saw any of it, really. I mean, I never saw any cowardice or anything. Not really.
What do you mean when you say not really?
Well, I mean, I think every one of us there were frightening moments. But you have to go through it, don't you? And some show it's probably a little bit more than others, but they've all got over it. And none of them stood back and said, well, go in. You know, to my knowledge, I never heard of anyone else doing it. I was saying anything about anyone else in the regiment. And I think they would have gloried in it if there had been, because they'd have never let them forget it. Because if anything like that happens in a regiment, you're letting the regiment down. And one wouldn't let the other get away with it. I mean, that's the sort of regiments we were. I mean, there were 23 reconnaissance regiments. There's a reconnaissance regiment to every division, you see, at that time. So, there's 23 regiments. It's a corps, you see. It's a reconnaissance corps. It's like an umbrella. And the different regiments go to different divisions.
Did you do any recces in the dark? I mean, were they mostly in the night or in the daytime?
Mostly daytime. I don't recall myself doing anything in night time. We were trained to do it night time because we were trained to go to a certain spot in the middle of a wood with a map reference number, and we had to find it at night. I mean, we were trained in that way, but I don't recall doing one myself actually in action.
So map reading and navigation was
part of our training, yeah.
How did they train you in that? Remember?
Well, they would give us a map reference before we went over to France, and then probably on the Downs or somewhere where there's some wooded country. And they'd either have a officer there who was the umpire and a judge, and you had to be there at a certain time and find that particular spot. That was how they did it, but you had to do it in a tactical way, not just prance in there and I'll say I'm coming, I've got it. You had to do it tactfully.
How is that?
Well, you had to feel your way. I mean, they had umpires out all around you, and if you didn't do it correctly, you had marks. They marked you. I don't remember. It was 10 out of 10 or what it was, or 8 of 100. But they had the umpires out, who were officers, and they were watching you. And you didn't know they were watching you. But you had to use your knowledge of what the reconnaissance corps was for and how you adapted it to it.
So you had to arrive quietly, did you? Is that what you mean? You had to creep up on them?
Oh yes, you had to creep up on them.
So how would you do that? By crawling?
Well, you got as near as you possibly could with your vehicles, and then you had to do the advanced on foot to surprise them in the particular spot, you see. Good fun.
Did you manage to do it?
I was involved with one or two, I think. Yes, I was. But, and we did cope, yes.
How close did you get?
I think we pinched something, got there and pinched something of the officer that was there, without him knowing.
So when you had some free time when you were in France, I mean, you know, what did you do then? What could you do?
Not a lot. We were really kept occupied. Vehicle cleaning, equipment cleaning, we were kept on the go nearly all the time, really. I mean, we had hours off, but I mean, you're only too pleased to have a rest and a sleep then. But they didn't let us rest a lot in the harbour. We were kept in, occupied, cleaning vehicles, and there was a lot that wanted doing to them, the maintenance on vehicles. Because we were all trained in our own right. I mean, I was trained as a driver mechanic. So we all knew, practically all knew something about how the vehicle worked and how the engine worked and everything else. So, I mean, stood me in good stead in civil life. I mean, no one can catch me out on a car now since then.
Did you take along anything to do in your leisure time? Did you take books or cards?
Well, we had cards and we played cards. Yeah, we did play cards, I must admit. I mean, before we went over, we went to Boris Nedman's, wasn't it? For a few weeks, and before we went down to Ashford, and we were playing cards the last night, so I lost all my money, didn't I? Lost my wallet, actually. I just got engaged before I went back. And,
what game were you playing?
Oh, I think we were only playing pontoon or something like that, you know. But I lost my wallet when I sat there, and I was in the advance party down there. And God, I couldn't go back to Boris Nedman's, could I? And as it happens, I was saving 70 bits. No, sixpences or 70 bits. 70 bits, I think. And there were six of us there, two of us, advanced section. And I was in charge, and I was the only one who got any money. It was the packet of threatening bits, about £3 or £4 in there. But that's the sort of thing we did, you know.
How did you lose your wallet? Did you gamble it?
Well, it was at night time and we were sitting on our haunches like in the... We were in Tencent, I think. And we had to go out our first light next morning or whatever it was. And it wasn't until I got to Maidstone, to Ashford, that I realised I got no money. And no one else had any other. But we managed, you know. We scraped through.
So what did you, how much did you see of German soldiers?
Well, the most I saw of them when we closed the Falaise Gap. And the regiment took 5,000 prisoners.
Right, tell me about that. Where was that again?
The Falaise Gap. Mm-hmm. When we met up with the Canadians. And we actually closed we made a connection with the Canadians to close the actual gap, and we went through. There was just 5,000 prisoners filing through our regiment.
And that was your first contact with German soldiers.
Well, not the first contact, but it was the most I saw. You said, Amy. yes, we took. Well, we didn't. I mean, they'd gave themselves up, didn't they? 5,000 of them. They knew they couldn't get through. But we were responsible, I suppose.
What did you do? Did they passed on somewhere else?
Oh, they went on through our headquarters on down to a holding unit, prisoner of war camp, as we would call it, really. Holding camp.
What sort of opinion did you form of them?
They looked very bedraggled. Lots of them were very young. We were only young. We were only 20 ourselves. But they looked really rough. Very, because they had a rough time. Yeah.
Did you speak to any of them?
No, I didn't. No. Mm. No, I was afraid not.
So what other contacts did you have with German soldiers?
Not a lot, only from a distance. Not close up. As I said, I was very lucky. Mm. Very, very lucky.
I mean, you met other Allied troops, the Canadians you've mentioned.
Oh, yes.
What were they like?
They were all right. They were good lads. Not quite so bombastic as the Americans, as I call it. I mean, the Americans won the war, didn't they? According to them. All right, we couldn't have done it without them, but they couldn't have done it without us either.
Do you know which German, which Canadian battalions they were?
Oh, no, I couldn't tell you that. No.
Did you talk to them?
Yes, I spoke to them. I mean, I don't remember the conversations, of course, but I mean, naturally, sort of said hello and everything's going, sort of thing. But I couldn't remember any conversation we had.
What was your opinion of them? Did you think they were having as bad times?
Canadians were all good fighters. Oh yes, they did a good job. Yeah. You didn't hear of them firing on their own units.
So who did fire on their own units?
The Americans. They bombed their own units, they fired on their own units.
Where was that?
I don't remember, but I remember it happening. And everyone talking about it. But,
did you have any contact with the Americans?
No, I didn't. No. Some of the other regiments did, I think. I think the 49th did, I think. But as far as I was concerned, no.
What about the military police? Were they there in France as well?
Yes. I was part of them for about 3 weeks. on the way through to join the regiment again after I came out of hospital. I was in a holding unit and they sent me on a MP course. 3 week course.
And what was that?
Military police, traffic control and general knowledge. We had to go through a course on we did a 3 week course on it. We went out on traffic control and we did a few lessons on paperwork and things like that. I mean, it was interesting, I suppose, with time.
What did you think of the military police?
Well, they had a job to do, didn't they? I think they were pretty good, really. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I mean, they were there to do a job, and they, same as we did. If we got out of line, we had to accept what came to us.
Was there any resentment towards them?
Not to my knowledge, really. I mean, I must admit they got belted in Maidstone when the lads fell out with the REs or the RAs or something. But that's what happened, isn't it?
The Royal Army Medical Corps, did you see them about? Were they with you?
Only in passing, really. And we had our own medical section, you know, the doc and what we called the doc and our own Red Cross, well, not Red Cross, but a medical trained couple of medical men within the regiment.
What was the doctor's name?
Clark, Nubby Clark. Yeah.
What was he like?
He was all right. He was a short, tubby little chap, and he was always laughing. He was quite pleasant. Yeah.
So he was always close by, was he, when he went into action?
Well, of course, he would have been back in HQ, but he would have been, timing up forward with the when he was needed, you know. But he would have been stationed back in HQ officially. But I mean, he had a wandering job, didn't he? I mean, he could be wherever he wanted to be, really, as long as he was doing his job.
Did you see him doing his job?
No, I didn't. No.
Did you have a padre?
Yes, and he was killed earlier in the campaign, unfortunately. I didn't get to know the new one. The original one was a beautiful man. As a matter, I don't remember his name, but I should do, because when my wife, before we were married, I think, or no, before we were married, she had a birthday, and I bought her a prayer book, and he signed it. He signed it for me. So I should know his name, shouldn't I? But I can't remember it.
So what did you see of him? Did you have regular services on?
We used to have the Sunday morning services, not over in France, of course, but back home. In before we went over there, we had their regular Sunday morning service, and that's how I got to know him. As I say, I'm a believer, and we became good friends. But I honestly can't remember his name. I should do. I mean, that's the trouble with me, I'm afraid.
What about when you were in France? Did you have any services or prayers?
Only when we were in harbour. That's what I said before I got blown up. We were in harbour a few days beforehand, and I took communion. But you didn't have the opportunity, really, to have services.
Did you see many other soldiers with prayer books or Bibles?
Not a lot. Not a lot. I always carried one in the bottom of my kit bag. But,
did anyone say prayers before you went out on wrecking?
Not to my knowledge. I've always been a believer, but I've never been able to express it in that way. I've always stood and said to myself many times, thanked him for getting me through.